Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
Baruch Hashem.
Chanukah, I was just going to call you a little while ago, but I figured I'll wait. Tomorrow, if by chance, if not the next day, could you give me a call? I just want to ask you, or I'll send you an email, and then when I'll send you an email. Never mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
Were you able to reach my friend?
I was, yes, and he said he would give you a call. He was very nice and he was wonderful. Thank you.
Very good. Let's give it another minute.
Okay.
L'shem yichud kutshab reichu ishkinte b'tchilur himud hilud hilur himud. L'yachta shem yudhe b'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu konanei aleinu ma'asei adenu konaneihu. Vayechal Elokim Bayom Hashvi Da Torah Sheba Alpe Vihu Yom Shvi Uveya Ishtachlel Alma Dihu Ki Umad Kola Melachto Asher Asa Velo Kol Melachto Beha Torah Shabikta Vapek Tola Betokfa Dikta Din Pak Mechachmeta. And Elohim ended by the seventh day. Alludes to the oral Torah, namely Malchut, the seventh day. Zeran Pin contains 6 days, and the Nukva, which is Malchut, is the seventh. On the seventh day, the world was completed, and all was preserved. It is written, his work, which he had done, and not all his work, because the written Torah, which is Zeran Pin, created the world through the power of written words, which are mochin, extended from chachma. Hence, the work was finished on the seventh day, which is malchut, the nukva of Zeran Pin. Questions, comments, thoughts? We're on section 44 of Bereshit Bet.
Okay, I found it. I just got in. I'm sorry I'm late.
Not a problem.
Okay.
You want to take a moment to catch
yes,
up?
Right. Okay. Well, they give us more code words, and seems to relate to the seventh day.
The important thing to realize is that it says Elohim ended by the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to it saying his work which he had done, but it doesn't say all his work. It's a very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the purpose of man, to complete the creation. And people think that it's God who does miracles, and it's God who does punishes man for misdeeds and all of this. And this verse is being very clear if you read it clearly, if you read it properly. God ended his work on the seventh day, or by the seventh day, which is Shabbat. But it meant he did some work on Shabbat. And then he's saying that I completed my part of the creation, but you have your part to complete.
Kano?
Yes, I'm asking.
Does it say what work he completed on the seventh day? Or do we know what work he completed?
It's not really clear from the written Torah, but in the Midrash it does explain it. I don't remember what it was. But there's discussion in the Midrash that he created these negative entities that have no body. He didn't complete their bodies. And so they roam the world looking to inhabit bodies of people sleeping and bodies of people who are not aware and are not fighting it. That's one of the things I remember. But that's the idea. You know, the Midrash says it happened at dusk on the seventh day, which is, of course, Shabbat. And then it's also the second time that the Torah says on the seventh day that it was very good. He looked at the creation and it was very good. And the important thing to realize is the word very is an addition. Good represents perfection to the extent that it's the plan of creation. It's not complete, but good is perfect. And everything is created perfectly for that moment, for that part of the process. But when God says it's very good, which he says on the third day, relating to the second day, and he says that on the seventh day, he's referring to the negative system. Because if you have something that is perfect and then you add to it, it's no longer perfect. And that's also hinted at in this verse. Verse 182. וישפוט ביום השביעי דא יסודא דעלמא וספרא דרב יבא סבא דא יובלא ועל כך כתיב הכא מכל מלאכתו וכל הנפק מניה The Anam Da Yisoda Kid Ka Amaran Deha Naihu Naiha Beya Hawa Yatir Mikola. And he rested on the seventh day, refers to the foundation of the world. In the book of Rav Yebasaba, It is written that he rested refers to the Jubilee, namely the illumination of the left side of Bina. Hence it is written, from all of his work, because all originates from this. And we say that, and he rested alludes to Yesod, not to the Jubilee, because there is more rest in it than in everything else. That is, rest in the illumination of Yesod is more revealed than the rest in the illumination of the Jubilee.
I think we skipped a verse.
What verse?
181. What you just read is 182 in my text, but maybe we're starting to deviate again like we did a couple of weeks ago.
No, I'm just, you're right, we skipped the verse, so let's go back to 181, and we'll do 182 tomorrow.
Okay.
My mistake. What can I tell you? Tolat zimnan ha'aka bayom hashvi'i v'yakal Elohim bayom hashvi'i v'yishvot bayom hashvi'i v'yivarech Elohim et yom hashvi'i atilat v'yakal Elohim bayom hashvi'i da Torah Sheber al peh im yom hashvi'i Vayishtachlel al makidka amaran. The seventh day was mentioned three times in the text, and Elohim ended by the seventh day, and he rested on the seventh day, and Elohim blessed the seventh day. And Elohim ended by the seventh day refers to the Oral Torah, which is Malchut, the Nukva of Zeranpin. For by means of the seventh day, the world was finished and completed, as we have said. Thoughts, questions, perceptions?
Well, they seem to be making a distinction between the Oral Torah and the Written Torah.
Because Why do you think?
Well, in the verse before, it is written, his work which he has done, and not all his work, because the written Torah, which is there on pen, created the world through the power of written words. Okay, whereas this time they're telling us that an Elohim ended by the seventh day refers to the Oral Torah, which is Malchut.
Which is an answer to Hannah Esther's question about what did he do, what work did he do on the seventh day?
Mm-hmm.
Was the creation of the Oral Torah. The explanations of all that was written. So the written Torah created everything, but it's not complete. He needs the oral Torah explaining, like an example is a mezuzah. What is a mezuzah? The Torah says to put a mezuzah on your doorpost, but it doesn't tell you what is a mezuzah. So he has to have an oral Torah to explain which verses, which passages to write on the parchment to go into the mezuzah. That's the oral Torah. It's the further explanation. So they're different. The written Torah and the oral Torah are different, but they're not separated. Just like male and female is different. But they're unified. A soul is both male and female in unity. And this is another hint to the teaching that unity is the appreciation of the diversity. But there's a lot more in this verse. What does it mean that he mentioned the seventh day three times? Well, we have three meals on Shabbat now, so you know why we have three meals. And why was the seventh day? Because included in Shabbat is the three upper sefirot. The Keter, the Chachma, and the Bina. And so these three code words or code phrases is explaining that the energy of the day, the energy of Shabbat, includes the upper Gimel Rishonot, the upper three, for the week that is coming. So in the three meals and in the three times that Shabbat is mentioned in the written Torah, we're getting the energy of Keter, Chachma, and Bina of the following week.
We have a new lady in our synagogue, and when she lit the candles a couple of weeks ago, she did something I'd never seen before, and that was when she began after, I guess after she said, I don't know if it was before or after, but anyway, as she waved her hands, as we do to usher in the light, she named every day of the week, making the comment that she liked to welcome Shabbat into her week. And so she named Sunday, Monday, with her motioning with her hands, and I thought it was quite beautiful.
It is, and it's a person who's on an intuitive level, unless you studied and would know that it includes the three upper sefirot.
Well, I think she studied a year in a yeshiva in Jerusalem, she told us, and it was probably a long time ago, but
that you would have picked up that information.
I haven't had a chance to really talk to her, but when I told her about the North Node, she didn't know about the North Node, but boy, she started throwing out things. So I knew she had some experience, you know. But,
most of the yeshivot, you know, whether in Israel or here, they don't want to touch the astrology, so they kind of ignore it. But in Kabbalah, it's, you know, it's very much clear. The Zohar is very clear on what is the Book of Numbers. Why do we need to know about walking in the desert and that the tribes walked in this particular order? Well, we don't really need that, except that we understand that it's teaching us about the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have time to do one more, the other verse that we already did. So you want me to read it again?
Let's read it again. After seeing how valuable it is in the class Sunday, I think it's not going to hurt us at all, and it will help us.
Baruch Hashem. Vayi ishpot bayom hashvi'i da yisoda di alma v'sifra dirav yeva da ba da yovla v'yal kach ketiv haka mikol melachto dekola Nafek mineya vianan da yisoda paid ka amaran viha naicha peya awaya tir mikola. And he rested on the seventh day, refers to the foundation of the world, In the book of Rav Yevasaba, it is written that he rested refers to the Jubilee, namely the illumination of the left side of Bina. Hence it is written from all of his work, because all originates from this. And we say that, and he rested, alludes to Yesod, not to the Jubilee, because there is more rest in it than in everything else. That is, rest in the illumination of Yesod is more revealed than the rest in the illumination of the Jubilee.
Well, I don't understand that one. Okay, they're making a distinction between Yesod and the Jubilee.
Not so much Yesod, between the Shemitah and the Jubilee.
Okay.
Because Yesod is always connected to Malchut, so sometimes they'll use the word Malchut for the Shemitah, and sometimes they'll use Yesod for the Shemitah.
Okay.
But he's saying that the Yesod or the Shemitah is more revealed. But it's essentially the same thing, the illumination of the female, the left side of the female. In one sense, it's Malchut, in the other sense, it's the Jubilee. One sense, it's Malchut, the other sense, it's Bina. And so the light is revealed more in Yesod, more in Malchut than it is in Bina. Doesn't mean that it's stronger or more intense, it just means it's more revealed. And that's what's being said in the verse.
Mm-hmm. But Yabasava, I think we've read his name before. But
yes,
not very often. Not very often, I don't think. Saba meaning grandfather?
Yes.
And what would Yaba be? Or Yaba? Yaba. Is it Yaba or Yaba? Let's see if I can see
Yaba. It's Yaba, okay. And it's like Yud Yud Bet Aleph. Bet Aleph is bow, which means come. And it's the active coming. It's the world that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Which is we've discussed that before. Mostly it's translated as the world to come, and that never gets here. So it's the world that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other yud, which means that God is coming. That's
mm-hmm.
what you know, looking at the letters. I mean, if you give me a second, I'm at my computer, so maybe let's see what the if my dictionary has anything. It's Aramaic, so it's not going to be.
The Aramaic is yud yud bet olive, and
right.
I know that bet olive is bow because that's my Torah portion. So intercom, and two yuds is Adonai. So.
Interesting. My dictionary says, if you substitute for the first yud, if you transform it into a mem, which is the relationship of the atbash substitutions. If you do an atbash substitution, then you can, it's spelled mem yud bet aleph, and it means to import.
Or you could also say crumbs, because me is who. Mem yud.
Say again.
Well, mem yud is who. Me
right.
is who.
You're right. Me
who comes.
Who comes? Who is coming? the grandfather. Mm-hmm. And the grandfather would be referring to the ancient one.
Mm-hmm.
So the name is a code word for Keter.
Hello.
Yes.
What name? Because I'm listening, but I got a little confused. What name is a code word for Keter? Is that Saba?
No. But yes.
Oh.
Saba.
Okay.
Which means grandfather.
Right.
Is a code word for the ancient holy one.
Is
and
that
always a
thing? Is that another metaphor?
The ancient holy one?
Mm-hmm. For Arikantin?
For Arikantin, yes.
Okay.
So tomorrow we'll pick up with the last three verses here. Or the last two verses of this section 44.
Okay.
You mentioned that the Sunday's class. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did. I really did. I like the way it kept repeating and repeating and repeating. It got, you know, I could really. I don't know. The point was there each time. And right about the time you said something about the repetition, it was exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking to myself, gosh, how many times is it going to repeat? And that was the thought in my head when you said what you said. So, but I'm trying to catch up. I have another appointment tomorrow, so I'm hoping I can make it for this class.
Hopefully it's not, you know, I'm sure somebody will be on and we'll have the class.
Okay.
But I hope you make it, and the recording you listen to, I know.
Okay. All right.
So you both have a beautiful evening.
Okay.
Curtis. We'll meet for that at 10 o'clock West Eastern Time and 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. West Coast.
Okay, thank you.
You take care.
Bye-bye.